Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Isaiah. The Old Testament book of Isaiah, and we find our way to the book of Isaiah and chapter number 58. The book of Isaiah and chapter number 58. We are now entering a section where God is now doing practical applications because of these things that we heard as he's trying to draw the Hebrew people back to himself, trying to encourage them to put their dependence upon him. We could see that there are some very practical things that the Lord has been giving in these last several chapters. And Isaiah 58 is a very important chapter dealing with prayer, dealing specifically with the question of fasting. If you wouldn't mind, notice with me in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 58. Isaiah 58, notice with me in verse number 1. Isaiah 58 and verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with a fist of wickedness. And ye shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable but day to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, and to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal bread to the hungry, and that bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hidest not thyself from thine own flesh, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. And thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou shalt take away from the midst of thee the yoke, and putting forth the finger, and speaking of vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, to make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they shall be of thee that build up the old waste places, and thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. If thou shalt turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor seeking thine own words, then shall thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Isaiah 58? Isaiah 58, and notice with me in verse 5, is it such a fast that I have chosen? Then the same sentiment is repeated in verse number 6. Is this the fast that I have chosen? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? And with this, we're going to answer this question that God gives to the people. Is this the fast I have chosen? Is this the fast I have chosen? And with the Lord's help, we want to give a good understanding of what God says fasting is about, rather than just depending upon tradition or what our thoughts may be. We want to see what God has to say on this important subject of fasting. Is this the fast I have chosen? If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're just asking that you would give us grace and mercy, give us understanding. Help us, Lord, to understand what you mean by fasting, understand the purpose, understanding how to do it correctly, that we can get a hold of you and see you work. Help us even now to have eyes to hear, see, and ears to hear. As for me, I don't want to be in the way, so the best I know how, I surrender myself. Ask that you fill me with your Spirit, that you could get your own work accomplished through your precious word, that you could draw your people in and let them be more dependent upon you because of what we learn here today. We need you, and we could trust you. In your name we pray, amen. Without a doubt, fasting is so important in the Bible. Fasting is vital. There were times that Jesus went to his disciples and said, these things come not but by prayer and fasting. And yet, fasting seems to be one of those issues that people have a misunderstanding on. So much so that some of the modern Bibles, like the NIV, have taken out every reference of fasting in the New Testament. Can you imagine such a thing? That the NIV took all the things of fasting? Well, someone will say, well, wait a second. Isn't that horrible? Well, listen, before they took it out of the pages of Scripture, most people took it out of their lives in the first place. So what are you missing? Fasting is something that most people don't do, and mostly because they don't know how to do it right. Is fasting the idea that I decide to give up food, which is the basic definition of fasting, is to abstain from food, and that if I decide that I'm going to miss a couple meals today and be on a special diet, but call it a prayer to God, that God looks down and says, oh, that a boy, and suddenly as a genie in a lamp, give me everything I wished for. Is this a fast that I have chosen, God says? Most people don't know how to fast. They don't know what it's about, so they don't. If there's something you don't know how to use, you're not going to do it. If there's some traditions you've taught and you can look and say, well, that's not for me, you're not going to use it. Fasting is something that we have just put out of our mind because of ignorance, never been taught, misunderstandings. And yet, once again, Jesus looked to his disciples when Jesus was able to take a young boy who was demon-possessed and kept throwing himself to the fire. And all of his disciples had taken a chance and, be ye healed! And nothing happened. And now there's a big crowd and they're laughing at him. And Jesus came down off the mountain, heard the guy explain what happened. And Jesus said, if thou only believe. And he says, Lord, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. And Jesus cast him out, and the rest of the disciples looked foolish. And they said, why couldn't we do this? And Jesus looked at him and said, these things come not by prayer and fasting. These things come not. There's a lot of things in our life that can be answered by prayer. But there are some things that only come by prayer and fasting. And we know that. There are things that we know are serious, and we attempt to do our best, face forward, and try to put together a fast, and then disappoint it because God didn't do what we wanted him to do, and that didn't work, so why try it again? And so we have another reason not to fast, because of ignorance, because of misunderstanding, and because we didn't do it right. God didn't do what we wanted to, so we think it doesn't work, so why bother? Is this the fast that I have chosen? Well, if you don't mind, God took time in the book of Isaiah 58 to ask the question, is this the fast that I've chosen? And he wouldn't ask that if he didn't also explain, what is the idea of fasting? What is biblical fasting? What is it that God means when he talks about fasting and prayer? Well, if you don't mind, let's explore this passage and let's get an understanding for ourselves. First of all, I'd like to show you what fasting is not. What fasting is not. Notice with me in verse number 3. Wherefore, we have fasted, say they, and thou seest not. Now, who are they talking to? The people are talking to God, and they said, we have fasted, but you didn't see. We fasted, it didn't work. That's times that happens. It didn't work, so why try it again? Why even bother? Well, could it be that there was a misunderstanding of fasting? Could there be that they don't understand what fasting is about? Could it be that there's something that needs to be learned about it? What fasting is not? Wherefore, we have fasted, say they, and thou seest not. Wherefore, we have afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge. Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Notice there's a couple things that we learn in here. The idea of fasting, as we said, is the absence of food. And so people said, this must be what fasting is. I skip a couple meals, and God looks down and says, oh, that poor soul. He didn't get his cheeseburger today. He said no to McDonald's. He must really mean business. So God, whatever you want. Is that the idea that just because we miss a meal that we're trying to get God to look at how pathetic we are, how sad we are? Oh, Lord, I'm so hungry. Oh, look at me now. Is that what pleases God? Is that what God is after? For us to be doubling over and being afflicted? And God looks down and, oh, I'm so sorry, my son. I'm so sorry, my daughter. I know that you're suffering. Sure, let me make things better. Is this the fast that I've chosen? Is this what fasting's about? That we just get ourselves to be hungry and God looking down smiles and looks at this pitiful children and says, all right, whatever they want now, they really mean business. Is this the fast that God has chosen? This is not the fast that God has chosen. The idea of just being afflicted. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse number 4, behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite them with a fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. So, it's not the affliction, verse 3, it's not the affliction just showing how pathetic we are. That's not fasting. Neither is the idea of our motive for fasting. Why do you fast? Why is it that you fast? Well, here it says some people are fasting for strife and debate. Meaning the idea, I want to show them, I'm going to fast, let God answer my prayers and show them I know how to get a hold of God. I want to show them I'm right and you're wrong. I want to show them that I am the one with the right doctrine, the right philosophy, the right thing. I'm right, you're wrong. I want to show them. So God, you rain fire down upon them and show them I'm right. Or God, you do something in their life and you show them the whole time that it was me. I was right. I know what I'm talking. You're like, we don't do that. Oh, we're pretty selfish in our prayers. We may not sound that extreme, but fasting in our minds is all about us. To make me feel better. To answer my prayers. To show that I was right in the first place. This is not the fast that God had chosen. The purpose of fasting is not to show that we're right. The purpose of fasting is not to afflict the world and again help us to win an argument, to help us to win in a debate. So the idea of fasting is not just afflicting ourselves and letting God look at us how pathetic we are. The idea of fasting is not just so we can get our way and show the world how right we are and to show the world that they should have listened to us in the first place. What else is fasting not? Verse 5. Is this such a fast that I have chosen? A day for man to afflict his soul. Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Again, some people carry the idea that it's there to afflict themselves. Verse 3, specifically, as they're afflicting themselves, they're carrying out with their normal activities. I heard someone explaining, you know what you do in fasting? How I fast is what happens. I find the busiest day of the year, and I go ahead and skip the meals because I was probably going to skip them anyways, and I call it fasting, and I go with my normal activities, and by the end of the day, I go ahead and eat, and I've survived the fast. It's called the distraction method. I just want to distract myself from, so I'm going to fast from food. God's going to look at me and say, he really meant it. He skipped some meals. Meanwhile, in my head, I didn't realize how hungry I was because I was just continuing with my activities. I just got busy. Is that the fast? The idea that we just continue our day and just, you know, skip a couple meals? Verse 4, are we fasting because we want to show how well we know the Bible, how right we are? We want to show them how wrong they are. We're fasting for the purpose of getting something accomplished to show how great we are. Verse 5. Or is it the affliction? Some people would get serious about fasting, and they would go through a lot of ceremony. Here it talks about verse 5. Is this such a fast that I've chosen for a man to afflict his soul? You know, there were some people who would get to the place where they would actually cause bodily harm in the fast days. There were people in the past who would actually take a whip. And as they would walk and fast, they would beat themselves, hoping that as they afflict themselves, cause bodily harm, that God would look down and say, man, they're really serious. You're like, no one would do that. Martin Luther, reformer, he did that quite often before he got saved. He was looking for a peace. He was looking for something. He would fast himself to the place where he was going to die, and the other priest would have to force feed him just so he could live. He never got peace. He figured, I know, I'll fast and I'll grab a whip. And they would call themselves the flatulence. And they would whip themselves and beat themselves with the idea that God would look down and say, they're really serious about this. This is something major. They really feel passionate about it. And because of their passion, I'll go ahead and give them whatever they want. Is that what God is looking for? Is for us to beat ourselves and to make ourselves so horrible? Verse 5, it goes on. Is this such a fast that I've chosen for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush? Is it the idea that if I lay prostrate all day and I just show myself serious and I'm going to lay down on this floor and I'm not going to move until God answers it? People have done that in the past. I'm just not going to move from this place. I'm just going to keep right here. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to sit up on this tree until I get this. I'm going to sit on this mountaintop. I'm going to seclude myself from the rest of the world. And I'm not going to do anything until God looks down at me and answers my prayer, because he sees how serious I am, how sincere I am. Is this the idea that God wants? He wants us to afflict ourselves, to make us hermits, to be monks out in the middle of nowhere, to leave civilization until we finally get a hold of God, until we reach that nirvana, till we meet that peace, till we get the higher plane? Is it the idea that we get a higher consciousness? Is this the fast that I've chosen? Verse 5, afflict the soul, bow down his head as a bulrush, to spread sackcloth in ashes under him. Now, you'll see this in the Bible, this idea of sackcloth. Sackcloth would be kind of this idea of a very rough wool that you would wear as an undergarment. And it irritates the skin. It is not comfortable. It's not nice, smooth polyester, silk, cotton. It doesn't feel good. It's irritable. It is very horrible. And so some people would say, well, you know what happened is that when they wanted to get serious, they would put on a sackcloth. So can you imagine taking on your undergarments and putting on the most bristly, uncomfortable, irritating. It would leave rashes on you. It would just rub against you and it wouldn't feel good. It would be such a rough thing. And if I wore this undergarments all day that rub against my skin and I aggravate my flesh and I show God I'm really serious, I'm really willing to be uncomfortable so I can get. Is this what God wants? Now, in your mind, some of you, rightfully so, will say, I thought this was exactly what fasting was. Most people do. To afflict themselves, that if I starve myself, God will be serious with me. If I bring myself some sort of pain, I cut myself, I do something, I show God I'm really serious. If I isolate myself and just lay prone or pick a position and not move until God gets a hold of it, I finally will show God that I'm serious about this. If I put on this holy underwear, if I put on this irritating skin, that God would finally see how serious I am and give me whatever my heart desires. Is this the fast that I have chosen? You know, all of those things are common ideas of fasting. How much can I show that I mean it? How much can I really show God I'm serious? They have people in the Philippines every year who nail themselves up to crosses just to show how God, how serious they are. Is this the fast that I've chosen? Well, you say, well, if it's not for the purpose to show how serious I am, what is fasting about? That's a good question. Because we have to start with that idea. What is fasting not? It is not trying to show how God how serious you are. It is not trying to impress God with how much you can afflict yourself. It is not trying to get to God's heartstrings by showing how pathetic you are. Then what is fasting about? If I'm not getting God's attention by fasting and afflicting myself, what is it about? Now, if I was a mean preacher, I would say, come back tonight, listen to what the rest of it is. But might as well tell you the rest of the story now. What is fasting for? Which is the second thing. We showed you what fasting is not. What is fasting for? What's the purpose of it? Fasting is not for God's benefit. But I thought fasting was for God's benefit. Fasting is not for God's benefit. When we fast, we do abstain from food. That's true. But it's not to get God's attention. So what happens when you fast? Now, most of us are Americans. At least eat at least 3 meals a day, plus snacks, plus a midnight walk to the refrigerator, plus, you know, we're used to food. We have it available. We eat a lot. We like food. Nothing wrong with that. We like food. And what happens when you fast, especially when you're used to a lot of food, there's something that comes on. You get uncomfortable. Even if you accidentally skipped a meal, your stomach starts to let you know a little bit later, I'm hungry. Feed me. It starts making noises. Starts growling. Feel that pain in your stomach. And normally we say, shut up, and we give it some food. Give it a Snickers bar or whatever we have to do to get it to calm down. Look at the refrigerator for an hour and say you don't have nothing to eat and then DoorDash something. We figure something out. But in the days of fasting, oh no, you feel it a lot sooner because you're acutely aware of it. And you start hearing it grumbling and you start feeling it. You go ahead and let that go. You start to feel a little bit weak. Oh, I haven't had enough to eat today. I don't know if I can make it. Can I go home, boss? I know it's only 11. And we start walking around like it's the end of the world. We zombie the rest of our days. Oh, I didn't have anything to eat. I just got to get through today. Don't notice me. It's fine. I'm all right. Oh, I'm going to make it. I'm just showing God how serious I am. You're like, well, God's not pleased with the affliction of ourselves. That's true. Well, then what's the whole purpose? Why would I do that myself? I'm just going to go to McDonald's and feed myself now. Why? Fasting's not for God. What's it for? It's for you. You see, you start to feel discomfort. You start to feel weak. You start to feel a little bit of pain. And all that does is remind you how frail and weak you really are for the purpose that you say, I need Jesus. Fasting's not for God because you don't impress God with your fasting. Fasting's for you to realize I'm nothing. All I have to do is miss a couple of meals and my body breaks down. I miss a couple days and my body complains. I miss a couple meals and my brain starts going, woe is me. Oh, how horrible of a day I'm having. You're like, are you sure? You probably haven't fasted in a while, but your mind starts going, how bad I feel, how weak I feel. But the purpose of it is to realize, I need Jesus. My body cannot do it enough. I can't handle it. What is the purpose of the fast? To say, I have to put my dependence on Him. It has to be Him. Lord, I need You. I am reminded right now, I can't do it. That's what fasting is for. It's for our benefit to throw our dependence on God. You said, are you sure? Well, let's see what Isaiah has to say. Isaiah 58. Notice, if you don't mind, as we pick some things up here. Verse number 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of the wicked, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that you break forth the yoke. What are we supposed to do during a fast? We're supposed to not only abstain from food, but dedicate our time for God's use. What is it that God would have us to do? If we want God to answer our prayers, then we must depend on God and be usable to His service, specifically soul winning, but to put ourselves, instead of being so busy, distracted with some other work, I don't feel how bad I feel. It's, I'm going to fast. I'm going to let myself realize how much I need the Lord. And then while I'm depending on Him, let God use me however He sees fit. That's what God desires, is for us to throw our dependence on Him and say, God, I need You. Now use me however You see fit. I'm now a vessel. I'm surrendered to You. It's not me. However You see fit. Verse 7. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou mayest bring the poor that are cast out of thy house? And when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? You know, there's other people that are hurting, and they're praying that God would help them. God could use us to be a blessing to them. Amen. We're putting ourselves at God's disposal. God, what would You have me to do? I need You. I can't do it of myself. You have to do all the work, but however You see fit to do me. Today, I give myself to You. And if You see, show me something that needs to be done, I'll do it. You need someone that needs help, I'll be glad to help them out. This is what God has set us to do for a fast, is put our dependence on Him. Let Him choose for us. Let Him do the work. Let Him use us as we see fit. That's why being a hermit doesn't work. That's why just laying on the floor doesn't work. That's why not just looking how bad we are, because we're all looking at ourselves. It's not about us. We're in the way. We're in the problem. Fasting lets us realize we're the problem. And I set myself to God's use, however God sees fit. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number one. Cry aloud. Spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob. This is definitely soul winning. It's a time where we've surrendered ourselves to God. We realize we can't do it. We put ourselves at God's disposal, and God uses us to declare His word for soul winning. Tell people that there's a loving God who loves them, but that they're a sinner. But because of their sin, they deserve to be separated from God. But Jesus died for them. And that all they have to do is accept that gift for themselves personally. And there's people that need to hear that. And God says, I'm looking for someone who's dependent upon me that I could use to get my thing accomplished. You say, well, I've got someone who is lost and going to hell, and we've tried to tell him about Jesus, and he's never listened. I think I'm going to fast and pray. And so what normally would happen, you say, well, I'm trying to do it for someone else. And so I fast and pray. Lord, you see how serious it is. I really need Uncle Joe to be saved. Oh, look how pathetic I am. Oh, Lord, I'm really serious about this. And we expect God to have Uncle Joe just change his heart because he's a genie in the lamp. He looked how bad we are all. He says, oh, they're really serious about it. And so I'm going to change Uncle Joe. But oftentimes our motives are wrong. Why do you want Uncle Joe saved? So I don't feel so bad if he died. Why do you want Uncle Joe saved? Because I don't want Aunt Martha to be in that situation she's in anymore. We find a lot of ways to make even spiritual things selfish. Why do you want so-and-so saved? To make yourself feel better? It's not about you. Lord, I'm fasting today because I realize that I'm in the way. And I really want Uncle Joe saved, not because of me, but for your honor and your glory. And this fasting has brought me to the place where I realize it's all about you. Lord, whatever you see fit. And if you use me as an instrument to go talk to Uncle Joe, you've got to do the work. I'm just an instrument. You've got to do it. Is this not the fast that I've chosen? To put ourselves at God's disposal so he could use us? It could be that instead of talking to Uncle Joe, God sends us to go someone else. And someone else is Uncle Joe. And then God sends a soul winner to go hit Uncle Joe that he will listen to. That as we set ourselves at God's disposal, however he sees fit, he will handle that other stuff. We put ourselves at God's disposal. God, I'm weak, I'm frail, I'm nothing. You understand, I've seen a lot of people who fast, who go hide out. And they don't put themselves at God's disposal. That's not what God's wanting. God wants us to be available that day, however he sees fit. God, whatever you want to do, it's your day. I'm giving it to you. I'm not going to eat, not for the purpose of showing how bad I am, but showing that I need to depend upon you. I need you every moment. I can't trust myself or anything. I'm fragile. I'm broken. I need you. God, use me. Verse 2. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. Fasting is a time where we seek God and we delight to know him. Lord, you've showed yourself special today. I want to see you do something special today. It's all about God. Normally when we fast, we try to make it the most miserable day we possibly can, when it should be the most victorious day. We walk around, oh, I'm so hungry. Why are you so hungry? Well, I'm not supposed to say anything, but I'm fasting. Oh, poor baby. And we get the accolades. But it's not about us. God says it should be a day we delight in him. I fast, Lord, because I really want you to work. And I want you to see your glory. I want you to get victory today. And whatever you want done, I delight in this. This is not a burden. It is a blessing to be able to put myself at your disposal today, however you see fit. And I delight in your will. I delight in your word. I delight in you. I delight in you being a great God. It should not be a miserable day. It should be a fantastic day that we delight in him. Which again, we get fasting wrong because we make it all about us and how horrible it is. And it's all about God. And instead of looking how pathetic and weak and hungry I am, we have a wonderful God that we can serve. Praise his holy name. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Twice that word delight is used in here. They delight to know his ways, and they delight in approaching to God. Again, a lot of times when we fast, we afflict ourselves so bad that we don't delight in afflicting God. We're still trying to impress God instead of delighting that I'm approaching the wonderful God who loves me and he wants to spend time with me. Isn't it amazing how we always make things all about ourselves? Which brings us to a third thing. We showed you what fasting is not. We showed you what fasting is. But we also see what fasting results. What is the result of fasting? Now, in the Bible, we know that words are important. Starting at verse 8, we have the word then. And we're going to see that word then repeated several different times. In verse number 8, then. And verse number 9, then. We see it again in verse number 10, then. But notice verse 10, 11, 12 start with the word and. So it's continuing. Then this will happen. Then this will happen. And this will happen. Then this will happen. And this will happen. And this will happen. So we have the results of what happens when we fast correctly. Now let's catch up and make sure that we're on the same page. Fasting is not afflicting ourselves so God looks at us poorly. Fasting is not where we just skip a couple meals and then hope that God does something. Fasting is not where we are trying to get our own agenda accomplished. Fasting is coming to the place where we realize how frail I am and how much I need to serve the Lord. Fasting is setting myself at God's disposal for him to use me however he sees fit. Fasting is where we get to see people and try to be a blessing and try to answer their prayers by God using us as an instrument, whether it's soul winning, whether it's helping practically, whether it's something else. Fasting is delighting and seeking after him and being with him and knowing he's a good God. When those fasting is done correctly, then we have the thens. All throughout the Bible, we have what is called an if-then statement. If you do this, then this is going to happen. If, then. Those are called promises. We do our part. God does his part. So what is our part in fasting? It is not just to afflict ourselves. It is not just to skip a couple meals. It is not to live selfishly that day. It is to realize we need God and be dependent on him. It is putting ourselves at God's disposal. It is going out practically to be a blessing to people, soul winning, practically, whatever we could do. It is delighting in him. Then. Well, the then is what we're looking for. What is it that happens when we seek God correctly, when we depend upon him and throw our dependence and make ourselves available and delight in being him? Then, verse number 8, then shall the light break forth as the morning, verse 8, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then there's a lot already in this verse. First of all, verse 8, then, after we pray and fast as we delight, or as we ought, and we delight in approaching God and delight in knowing his ways, then, God says, then the light break forth as the morning. The light comes through in the darkness. A lot of times when we're praying and fasting, it's because there's something dark going on. It is because we need some light. It's because we're in darkness. Someone else is in darkness. God says, first of all, the light's going to break. That's a big deal. When you're walking in darkness and you're looking for a reason, you're looking for a path, you're looking for a way out, you're looking for something, that light coming forth and showing you where to go, that is wonderful. That's what you need. When we come to a place of big decision, isn't that what you're looking for? What direction do I go? What step do I go? Then the light breaks forth in the darkness. Sometimes I'm looking for an answer. Lord, I'm looking for an answer, but I'm going to set myself to fasting. And in that fast, I'm seeking you. I'm putting myself at your disposal. I'm going to let you take care of this. And as I approach God and delight in him, he'll give me light for the thing that's over here that I was praying for in the first place, that I was looking for. Then that light break forth as the morning. Notice there's a second thing. Then thy health shall spring forth speedily. Then. You know, there's sometimes that health problems have a spiritual cause. The book of James speaks about that quite a bit, that there are some health things that come because you're not spiritually right with God. We should, as we turn ourselves over, there are some times that the then and gives us the health, it's grace that God gives us. Amen. That he gives us the grace to go in spite of our pain, a grace I didn't have before, but now he's giving me grace to continue no matter how bad I hurt, no matter what my affliction is. Then, how do I have the strength to go on? Is this the fast that I've chosen? To fast, to seek God, to put myself at God's disposal? There's an old preacher by the name of J. Vernon McGee. Many of you have heard him, a radio preacher. He was diagnosed with cancer, given a year to live. He was already on the radio, and he said, you know, I'm going to use my last time wisely. I'm going to use my days wisely. And so, Lord helping me, I want to preach through the entire Bible on the radio for the last year that I'm alive. And he went through the Bible and was still alive. And he says, well, show the doctors up. I still have this cancer. Let me see if I can do it. Lord, would you allow me to have another year? And so he went through another year teaching the Bible through on the radio. If I remember correctly, he did it 15 times. Then. You said, well, his cancer disappeared? No. But God gave him the health to continue to be used of God as he set himself at God's disposal. Then. This then is a very big deal. Then thy light shall break forth as a morning. Then thy health shall spring forth speedily. Then thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. The righteousness of Christ shall go before us in a testimony that as I dedicate myself to God, God will then take care of my reputation. And God's people will say, as someone who's been with the Lord, whenever you meet someone who's really walked with God, there's something special about them. But we all can have that favor and relationship with the Lord, that fellowship with God. How does it happen? We get serious with God, realize it's not about us. I throw my dependence upon him. Then the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Now, this is an old English word that a lot of people, they said, am I getting rewarded? Am I getting rewarded again? If I fast, does God give me a reward? Well, he is our reward. That's a different passage. But in this idea, the reward is a rear guard. What is a rear guard? They protect you as you're going forward. They protect your rear from the enemy being attacked. You're not going to get stabbed in the back. Well, that's pretty important if you're advancing forward in the Lord's army. You look at the armor of God. That is, you look at the armor. Oh, by the way, I think it's tonight. Do you know that God wears an armor? You need to come back tonight and hear that one. But in the armor of God, the back is exposed. We have armor up in the front, but we don't have anything in the back. How is it? Well, first of all, we should always be advancing, not retreating. But then if we're doing things right, God has got our back.
Amen.
That's a big deal that God is protecting our rear guard. He's protecting us from the rear so we can always advance forward rather than being worried about what's behind us. You know, in the Christian life, that's a big deal to know that I get to keep going forward. And as I put my dependence on God, delight in seeking after him and do it for his motive, I keep advancing forward and I don't have to worry about the back. Just keep moving forward. That's a blessing to be able to feel like in the Lord's work, I could keep stepping forward. Well, that's not the rest of the thens. Notice if you don't mind in verse 9, then we have another then. It says, then thou shalt call and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. That's a big deal. That's what we're looking for in the first place, for God to hear and answer prayers. Why does God hear and answer prayers? Not because of how pathetic we are. Not because we're showing God how serious. It's as we dedicate ourselves and depend upon God that we're probably also going to be praying things that he's already doing. When we pray, we're just trying to get involved with what God is already doing in the world. You know that you can't twist God's arm? when we pray correctly, we're just getting involved with what God is already doing. And we get to see those prayers answered, that God is working. And what a delight it is that we're prayed and someone gets saved. We're praying for someone to have grace to continue going forward, and they do. That light comes out of the darkness and people have a plain path. That's wonderful. It comes when we're dependent on God and we're not even praying to God selfishly and looking at ourselves, but we're praying for his glory and his honor. Then, oh, that's wonderful. Notice if you don't mind. In verse number 10, and if thou shalt draw up thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul. So it's going back and reminding us we're trying to make ourselves available, putting ourselves at God's disposal. And as he uses us as an instrument, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness shall be as the noonday. Oh, what a wonderful testimony that is, that God can cause thy light to rise in obscurity, meaning from nowhere, God could rise it. And again, it's talking about idea of reputation. Integrity and character are who you are inside. Reputation is what God takes care of, the perspective of people out there. God says, I'll take care of that. You just put yourself at my disposal. Instead of you trying to build your kingdom, you just do what I tell you to do and I'll take care of you. We could trust God to do that work. Notice it goes on. And so we're still talking about the thens, and he's giving us a series of ands that are continue with those thens. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. You know that as we set ourselves for God's use, and we fast correctly, meaning that we're not doing it selfishly, but we're setting himself at God's disposal, that we're, whatever God would have us to do, we're putting our dependence upon him. You know what he said? He will guide us continually. Do you know that God can be your guide step by step throughout the day? How does that happen? By throwing your dependence on God. You know what most people try to do? They live their life however they want. Then they come to a big decision. Preacher, how do I know what the right thing is to do? I opened my Bible this morning and just kind of licked and put my finger down. No. He shall be your guide continually. When you put yourself dependence upon him continually. I don't have to worry about the next step. God will guide me. One of the most amazing sayings in the Bible is in Genesis 24, where the servant went to go pick out a bride for Isaac. Can you imagine a responsibility? Isaac pulling the servant and said, hey, you've got a job. You got to go find me a wife for my son. And you got to find the perfect wife. Okay. And so they made this big deal. He goes down. He travels to the homeland. He meets Rachel and her family, Rebecca. Meets Rebecca and the family. And he goes to this big deal. Rebecca brings the servant to go meet her dad. And her dad has a question. How'd you get here? What makes you think he's the right one? This is pretty fantastic. You want to tell me, my boss sent me to go find a bride for his son. His son can't come, but I'm going to take your daughter and travel thousands of miles away, and she's going to go get married, and everything's going to be all right. If you're a daddy, you would have some questions too, wouldn't you? That's a big objection right there, to go drag her to a guy she's never met, no email, no correspondence, no texting, no Zoom calls, no Facebook, no YouTube video. Can't follow the TikTok. What does she look like? What is she like? What is he like? Is she going to go? I mean, there's some questions. How'd you get here? How do you know this is God's will? Good question. And the servant said, I, being in the way, God led me. I, being in the way, God led me. What do you mean by that? Well, if you can imagine that you're in the center of God's will. So if I put my hands like this, imagine you're in the center of this. And imagine like a tidal wave. If I'm in the center of it, no matter where the wave goes, if I'm in the center of it, I go wherever the wave sends me. Correct? I, being in the way God sent me. So as I work on trying to be in God's will, in the middle of God's will, day by day, throwing my dependence on him, delighting in his will, putting myself at his use, he will guide me continually. I don't have to be looking for the next step. He will bring me to the next step. I just do what I'm supposed to do. He will automatically bring me to where I'm supposed to be. I, being in the way God led me, or as Bible says here, God will lead you continually. That's part of the then. That's not a standalone promise that says anyone, God will lead you continually. It's connected with the prayer and fasting of me putting myself dependent on him, delighting in him, putting myself at God's disposal. He will guide me continually. That is part of the then. Then he will guide me continually. Well, someone who wants to be in the Lord's work, that's a big deal. How do I know what country to go to? Not your business. How do I know what I'm supposed to do later? None of your business. Who am I supposed to marry? None of your business. Your business is to be in the middle of God's will, delighting in him, setting yourself at God's disposal, and he will guide you continually. And you don't have to look for those things. You don't have to look for God's will. I have to be in God's will right now. I, being in the way, God led me. Isn't that wonderful? But it's not done with the thens there. It still has more ands. Notice, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fall not. So here's a story. In the middle of a drought, I can be well watered. When everything else is dying around me, I could be flourishing. Do you know that your life can flourish no matter what the circumstances out there are? How? By being plugged into God. By putting myself at his disposal, by seeking after him, desiring him, realizing I can't do it, putting my dependence on him, he can make me so I can be well watered in drought. Isn't that a great picture? That I'm flourishing. I'm not just surviving, I'm flourishing. These are good thens, aren't they? If I fast the way that I should, there's a whole series of thens that are beneficial. Oh, but it's not done yet. Notice verse number 12. And they shall be of thee which shall build up the old places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. This carries the idea of working for the next generation. That if you can imagine a dam and it's ready to burst and it's going to overwhelm everything, the repairer of the breach. If you can imagine over time, the borders of the property that you have, your family's had it for a while, is starting to disintegrate. The repairers of the breach. To repair those things, to make the old paths straight, to make them so people know which way to go. The restorer of the paths to dwell in. You know, the paths that we used to tread, the old Bible way, are eroding all the time. It's almost now we have to have a pioneering spirit just to hack through the jungle to get to where we're supposed to follow after God. Because the paths are overgrown. They're no longer clear. Christians don't know how to be Christians anymore. Bible believers don't even know what to do anymore. It's kind of diverged. The paths kind of went away. People doing their own thing. But what a testimony as we follow after God, put our dependence on him, put ourselves so he could use us as an instrument as he sees fit. To make those paths clear so the people follow behind know which way to go, know how to walk, how to get to hold of God, know which way to go. That's important for the next generation to know the path. The restorers of the breach to be able to build back those old things that God wants to be used, to rebuild them back. There's so much into this. There's a lot here that goes with the thens. When we look at all of the benefits, the results, isn't fasting worth it? Again, what is fasting? It's not to afflict myself. It's not just to skip a couple meals and hope that God does whatever I ask him to do. It's not to the idea of being selfish about it. It's all about me putting my dependence on God. It's not me, it's him. Not my will, but thy will. Putting myself at God's disposal as I learn how to walk with him and delight in him. These thens will come to pass. And these are great thens. It could be that there's something on this list of thens that you need. Perhaps as a parent or grandparent, you look back and say, my kids, they don't have a clear path to walk. But I want them to walk the right way. How are they going to know? Fasting and prayer. Well, I need health. If I'm going to do something for God, I need health. Fasting and prayer. No wonder Jesus said, these things come not but by prayer and fasting. And again, we haven't been fasting because we haven't been taught. We haven't known. We have a misconception. But when you hear about these results and you see what this is, isn't fasting worth it? Isn't this something that we should do and ought to do and is important to do? All of these thens to let God break through with light into the darkness, for God to answer prayers, for God to guide us continually. These are great results. Is this the fast that I've chosen? Remember, fasting is not about getting God's attention. It's about realizing where we are and surrendering ourselves and letting God use us. Is this the fast that I have chosen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're just asking that you would give us grace and mercy. Give us understanding. Help us, Lord, to put our dependence and trust in you, that it is not us. Forgive us for the times where we try to treat you like a genie in the bottle, and we feel like we've got to manipulate you, twist you, to force you, to break your heart, to whatever we have to do to get you to do what we want you to do. Help us to be the servants we ought to be, realizing that you're God and that we're not, and that we would put ourselves in a proper position and surrender ourselves and allow you to be God in our lives and affect the world around us. We need you. Perhaps there's people in here that this is brand new. They've never quite considered this way. But they do realize the Holy Spirit inside of them saying, this is it. This is for you. Lord, I'm asking that you would help them to take this seriously. Perhaps some of them need to set an appointment. Lord, this is a day I'm setting aside for a fast. Not one where I'm going to be so busy I ignore you. But one where I purposely set everything aside for you to use me however you see fit. That it'd be all about you. That you would guide me continually, and I need your guidance. I need your prayer. I have something specific that needs to be taken care of. Lord, I'm asking that you would teach these people to have great victory and continual victory by abiding in you. Help these good folks to have the courage and bravery to decide to follow you. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.